The Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick out today. The Predators are en route to Toronto to start their road trip tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course. But Derek, it's time for us to have a difficult conversation.
Are you leaving us?
I am not. I just got here.
You just got here. Are you leaving us?
I would like to stay if you'll have me. I just got here. I'm not leaving. But I think, all right, I am going to make the case to all of you why the Nashville Predators need to make a coaching change. I am at the point where I feel that if I were in charge of the Nashville Predators, I would be moving on from Andrew Burnett. And we've talked a lot about whether or not he should be on the hot seat. We've talked about the issues with the team. They're 25 games into the season. They've won 7 games. There's a lot going on with this team, a lot going wrong. And I just want to start this conversation by sharing some facts. This is completely fact-based. And Derek, I am tasking you with, at any point, you need to rein me in, or you want to play devil's advocate, I want you to do that. So we are just going to start with some facts about these Nashville Predators through 25 games. We'll start simple, and maybe we'll get a little granular as we go along. The Predators have won 7 games. They've played 25. They've won 7. That is the fewest wins in the National Hockey League. Those 7 wins are also the second fewest through 25 games in franchise history. The 2002-2003 Predators won 5 of their first 25 games. And I would like to remind everybody that the leading scorer for the 2002-2003 Predators was David Legwand with a whopping 48 points. Not a talented group in 2002-2003. The Predators are 30th in the league in points percentage. The only teams worse in points percentage than the Nashville Predators this season are the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks, two teams that were expected to be at the bottom of the standings. You were not expected to be at the bottom of the standings. The Predators are the 32nd ranked team, which means they're last, in the NHL in goals per game. They average 2.32 goals per game. At 5-on-5 in 25 games, they've scored 29 goals at 5-on-5. Most of the game is played at 5-on-5. That is an average of 1.16 goals per game at 5-on-5. They have scored 2 or fewer goals in 16 of their 25 games this season. They've lost all 16 games. They're 0-10-6 in the games that they score 2 or fewer goals. The Predators, I remember seeing this, Derek. I was surprised when I saw it in the offseason. Mm-hmm. The Predators were the first team in NHL history to acquire 240 goal scorers in the single offseason. Now, these, and by what the NHL means by this is 2 players who scored 40 goals the previous season, not players who have 40 goal seasons on their resume. So the Predators were the first team in NHL history to acquire 240 goal scorers in a single offseason. Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault are on pace for a combined 36 goals this season. Steven Stamkos has 7 goals in 25 games. That's an average of 0.28 per game. That would be the worst of his NHL career. He will be a Hall of Famer when his career is over. Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos, through 25 games, have combined to score 5 points at 5-on-5. 2 goals, 3 assists. Steven Stamkos has 1 goal and 2 assists at 5-on-5. Jonathan Marchessault has 1 goal and 1 assist at 5-on-5, and if I'm not mistaken, both of those came in the same game against the Winnipeg Jets, which means in 24 of 25 games, Jonathan Marchessault has 0 points at 5-on-5. All of this is to say that this season has been, by far, the most disappointing season of any team in the National Hockey League. Barry Trotz spent $108.5 million in free agency to bring in 3 of the top 5, you could say, free agents on the board. Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. And Brady Shea, he struggled too. Mm-hmm. I didn't even mention him in this. The Predators spent that money because they expected to win. They expected to be in the running for the Stanley Cup. The Predators are probably just as close to having the number one having the best odds to have the number one pick in the draft lottery than they are to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it's been so far this season. And I want to play something that you and I talked about. This is from November 7th. This is the morning of November 7th. The previous night, the Predators lost to the Capitals on the road. The morning of November 7th, the Predators were preparing to play the Florida Panthers. Willie was out. He was preparing for the game with his FanDuel Sports Network crew. So it was just you and me. And I want to play part of the conversation we had, David, if you will.
He, probably like the players in the locker room, are like, listen, it's not working and we need to get it fixed. And if it doesn't get fixed quickly, then I'm going to have to make some changes. So I think right now is a time to, if you don't want to say panic, say be concerned. It's a time to be concerned. Now, what's your concern level? Some people may think, give them more time. Some people are on the other side like, man, they need to do something. They need to do something quickly. But how long do you wait if you are in a GM? How many more games are you going to give your team to try to figure this out?
If I were in Barry Trotz's position, I would give them until the end of this road trip. They play at Seattle on November 20th. So that's less than 2 weeks from now. That's about as much time as I give them to figure this out. I give them, that is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games over the next 2 weeks. That's how much time I give them. That's what I said on November 7th. That was the morning of November 7th. Since I said that, the Predators have lost 9 of 12. They have 3 wins, 4 regulation losses, and 5 overtime losses. So since I said that, they've lost 9 of 12, and I can't keep moving the goalposts.
Okay, my rebuttal to you would be, he doesn't all of a sudden turn into a bad coach. This is a coach and a coaching staff that took a team that many didn't expect much from last season. And they won 20 of their last 30 games. 20 of their last 30 games. And I'm only just counting wins and losses. I'm not counting if they got points or it went into overtime. I'm just saying the last 30 games last year, when things were thick and every game meant something, he was able to push whatever buttons he needed to push and get that team into a playoff, which in playoffs, they had an opportunity to win with the team that many didn't pick to make the playoff. They scored 13 goals. The other team scored 14 goals. It wasn't like it was a landslide. They continued to fight. So to me, my rebuttal would be, he doesn't all of a sudden just turn into a bad coach. There has to be something else going on within this team. Because my thing, and listen, people, and Adam, because I'm going to let Adam get back to what he was saying, because I enjoyed every bit of it, and I know the listeners do as well. What I am about to say, in no means am I advocating for it. I want to say that first and foremost, and I want the Nashville Predators to hear me. What I am about to say doesn't mean this is the way I am feeling. If indeed there is this push, and I'm not saying that you're trying to push for the head coach to be removed. I'm not saying that, but you're just giving like, hey, listen, something needs to be done. Maybe this is something you need to start thinking about. If indeed you're going to look at the head coach, why not look at the GM?
That is,
I'm just, and listen, I am so far from saying Barry needs to be removed from his job title as the sun is from the earth. Okay, so what I'm not saying that Barry should lose his job. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying that if indeed we are coming to that point where we are saying, hey, listen, now we need to look, because we can't change the player. Now we need to look at the head coach. Who went and got the players?
I hear you. Look.
For this system that we saying, these players may not be right for this system. Who went and got them? Who earmarked these players?
Barry Trotz is culpable in this as well.
And I'm not, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying fire Barry. That is not what I'm saying.
I completely understand that. But you are right. Barry Trotz is culpable in this as well. And I said that I wanted to get a little bit more granular. Mm-hmm. So I just read some basic statistics. There is a statistic in hockey. It's called expected goals. And I'll try to be as basic with it as I can. It's about shot quality. And, you know, when you're on offense, the better your shot quality, the more chances you have to score. On defense, the better you do of stopping teams from getting good looks, the better you play, right? The Predators last season, in 5-on-5 shot quality per game, finished the season at number 11. Remember that number. They were number 11 last season in expected goals or shot quality at 5-on-5 per game. So far this season, they're 31st. They've gone from 11th to 31st on offense. On defense, shot quality against per game. Last season, the Predators also finished 11th at 5-on-5 per game. This season, they're 23rd. Now, it's not as big of a drop as 11th to 31st, but 11th through 23rd is nothing to ignore.
Still a drop.
What this tells me from afar is that there is something about the process that is broken. I don't understand how this team offensively can go from a top third team in shot quality at 5-on-5 to the second worst team in the league like that. I don't get it. And we mentioned Stamkos and Marchessault, right? They're struggling at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. They're on pace for a combined 36 goals after they both scored 40 goals last year. They're not playing well this season, but they're not bad players. Mm-hmm. Steven Stamkos is going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame one day. Jonathan Marchessault won playoff MVP 2 years ago with the Vegas Golden Knights when they won the Stanley Cup. But why have they all of a sudden struggled to generate anything at 5-on-5? I just don't get it. And here's my point. The Predators season is, if it hasn't already, it's careening off a cliff. They are one of the worst teams in the league through 25 games. I can't ignore that. And there's one thing that we know about the NHL. They hire and fire coaches quicker than any other league in North American professional sports. Shayna Goldman of The Athletic did a story the other day. The average coach's tenure, according to Goldman, across all 32 NHL teams is 2.3 years, which is the lowest of the four major men's leagues. In the NFL, it's 4.18 years. In the NBA, it's 4 years. In Major League Baseball, it's 3.91 years. In the NHL, it's 2.3. So we know in the NHL, coaches get hired and fired. We've already seen two coaching changes so far this season. Mm-hmm. The first one happened 2 weeks ago today, I believe, when the Boston Bruins fired Jim Montgomery. And Jim Montgomery is a good example. I know that Andrew Burnett is not a terrible coach. He has been the runner-up for the Jack Adams Award, which is given to the coach of the year, in two of the past 3 years. I know that he is not a bad coach. You know who also wasn't a bad coach? Jim Montgomery. When the Bruins fired him, they were 8-9-3. Jim Montgomery, over his two-plus seasons with the Boston Bruins, had the best record in the NHL. His first season with the team, they won 65 games. Mm-hmm. That's the most, not only in the NHL that season, that's the most in NHL history. He won 65 games. He also won the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year. The Bruins won 120 games. Over two-plus seasons with Jim Montgomery as coach. And the Bruins said, that's not good enough. We're struggling. We have to make a change. And I'm going to share some numbers in the next segment. But there is data that supports the fact that when you fire a coach in the NHL, your team plays better. I don't know why, but I have the numbers to prove it, and I will share them with you on the other side. But here's my point. This season, to borrow a phrase that Jarrett Stillman likes to use a lot, has been an unmitigated disaster. And there really is nothing else. If this organization is trying to get these players' attention, that what you're doing is not good enough, there really is only one quote unquote simple thing they can do, and that's to make a coaching change. And we played the clip for me from a month ago, and for me, that loss to the Flyers last week, that sort of sent me over the edge. They controlled that game and they blow it.
It was so bad.
They blow it. They give up the tying goal with 12 seconds left and lose in overtime. And then part of me was like, well, let's see how they respond. Then they lost the next game in overtime 3-2 and the following game in overtime 3-2. So I just think that where this team is going, they expected to compete for the playoffs. They expected to be in the running for the Stanley Cup. And instead, as I said, they have roughly the same odds of having the best odds in the NHL draft lottery than they do making the playoffs. And that's why, at this point, if I were in charge, Derek, listeners, I would make a coaching change. I want to hear from all of you. We already have some phones lined up. I can't wait to read the text line. 615-737-1025. And look, if the Predators go on a run, I'm going to take my medicine. And I will admit I was wrong. And if Andrew Burnett wants to come on the program and hear me say it, I'll invite him to do so. And this is nothing personal against Andrew Burnett. I just think that I have seen enough from this team this season that I think it's time for the Predators, if I were in charge, to do it. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. I also have some more information that I want to share. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. If you missed it in the previous segment, I've made the case as to why the Predators should make a coaching change. And we've got some calls and some texts that we'll get to. But before we do that, Derek, there is one thing that I wanted to share. So if you'll recall, Derek, we had this conversation with Willie a couple of weeks ago. It was a spicy conversation. I think it was one of our better hours of radio since we've been a trio. Mm-hmm. And I shared numbers of the teams that made coaching changes last season. I believe there were 7 teams that made coaching changes last season, most notably the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. They fired their coach after about 10 or 11 games. The coach they hired, Chris Knobloch, from the time they hired him through the end of the regular season, they had the best record in the NHL, and they made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. They fell one win short of winning the championship. But I took those numbers, and I said, before the coaching changes, this was their record. But after the coaching changes, this was their record, and they were better. And Willie accused me of cherry-picking. So
yes, he did.
I did not take that lying down. Mm-hmm. So I went to the NHL Stats and Information Department. They do a wonderful job with this sort of thing. I bug them all the time. So this is what I asked them to do. This was a couple of weeks ago. I said, will you pull for me all of the teams that made coaching changes between the 2013-14 season and the 2023-2024 season? So that was last season. So we have a 10-year sample. Mm-hmm. Of teams making coaching changes. If I'm not mistaken, within that 10-year sample, there were 48 in-season coaching changes over 10 years. As we say, in the NHL, these things happen a lot. So I asked the NHL Stats and Information Department, I would love the team's overall record before they make the coaching change and after they make the coaching change. So between 2013 and 2024, teams that fired their coaches, when you combined all of the records of those teams at the time they fired their coaches, they had a winning percentage combined of 0.412, 41.2%. They had a points percentage of 476. So a winning percentage of 412, a points percentage of 476. Those are the teams that fired their coaches and their records at the time of the firing. After they made the coaching changes, the record. Remember, winning percentage before, 412. Winning percentage after, 496. Points percentage before, 476. Points percentage after, 544. So that's 10 years worth of data. That's not cherry picking. That's 10 years worth of data that shows that when NHL teams make coaching changes, and I don't know why this is, Derek, but it is clear that teams perform better in the standings after they make coaching changes. There have been 2 teams that have made coaching changes this season, the Boston Bruins, as I alluded to earlier, and the St. Louis Blues. Funny enough, Derek, the St. Louis Blues weren't planning on firing their coach until the Bruins fired their coach, and they wanted the Bruins coach so badly, they fired their own coach to hire the Bruins coach. It's very complicated. The Blues and the Bruins, since making their coaching changes, have a combined record of 6-2-1. That's points in 7 of 9 games, wins in 6 of 9 games. It works. I don't know why. But it does. And that's part of it as well. The Predators are trying to make the playoffs. The Predators want to be competitive. And there is 10 years worth of data that shows you that if a team makes a coaching change, it helps in the standings. Now, is it a guarantee that if the Predators were to make a coaching change that they would make the playoffs? No, it's not. But they would probably perform better in the standings if they did.
Yeah, okay. The question to you would be this. Because I understand what you're saying. You have the data to back it up. For what reason, It happens. They get a bump. We don't know. I mean, you can say a change, you know, a voice change in a locker room may re-energize some guys. And for whatever reason, they go out and they play with this enthusiasm and they end up winning games that otherwise they probably would have lost with the other coach. So my question to you would be, are they too far into this now to make the change? And even if they get a bump, is it going to be enough to ultimately get them to where they want to go, and that's the playoffs?
That, it's a good question. There is no guarantee that if they were to do this, which I'm not expecting them to, because Barry Trotz has been clear during his weekly interviews with Jared. And by the way, Barry Trotz on with Jared Stillman today at 5 o'clock. I can't wait to listen to that. But there's no guarantee that it happens. Mm-hmm. You're right. But I'm just telling you that if the Predators are looking to change their fortunes, I have 10 years worth of data that shows you that it will likely happen if you make a coaching change. Now, there's another question we have on our text line. I know I'm going to get it a lot, and then we'll get to your phones. Somebody asked, I'm sorry I don't have it up in front of me, who would I hire to replace Andrew Burnett? Now, I don't think this needs to be a situation that we saw when the Predators made an in-season coaching change about 5 years ago, when they fired Peter Laviolette. They hired John Hines the next day or 2 days later, and he was the full-time head coach. I don't think you need to do that. I don't think you need to rush into making that decision. Unless there's somebody, like I said, the Blues, they fired their coach because the Bruins fired their coach. They wanted the Bruins coach so badly that they fired their coach so that they could have the Bruins coach. I don't know if there's anybody out there for the Predators in this scenario. What I would probably do, and it's not the most exciting thing, is I would promote Todd Richards to interim head coach. Todd Richards is an assistant coach with the Predators, has, I believe, 6 or 7 years of head coaching experience with the Blue Jackets in the Wild. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't rush to make a decision. I would promote Todd Richards to interim coach and let him figure it out for the rest of the season and then see if somebody emerges over the next several months that makes you want to hire them.
Okay, here's another.
Sure. And then we'll get to your phones.
Rebuttal. Or scenario or whatnot. Instead of, you know, firing the head coach. Because sometimes, you know, you don't want to go to that extreme. Because that's usually like the last resort when things haven't been working. You figure, I got to do something. And what's the one thing that can give you a bump? Removing the head coach of whatever team, whether football, it doesn't matter. Okay, in this scenario, before you change the head coach,
yep,
should you sit down as a GM with your head coach? And I'm not saying that Barry hasn't done this already, but sit down with your head coach and say, hey, listen, I know this is what we expected of these players that we brought in. And I know the system that you have. And I know, because I've watched it and I played against it, what it entails and what it takes. Maybe try changing the system a bit. Cater it to the players that you have right now. And see how that works before we get to that point of, okay. Because you want to try to exhaust every avenue.
Right.
Before you, because when you do that you do it and you there's no going back for that.
Correct.
From that. Or no coming back from that, excuse me. So should Barry have a talk with Coach Bruno and say, listen, let's change some things schematically and see how that works. And again, they might have talked about that already.
I imagine they've probably had this conversation.
So before you even get to that point and you can't trade players, well, you can, but you got to get another team to agree to take the contract. If we can't do any of that, then we may have to taper the scheme just a little bit.
It's another good question. And I believe Andrew Burnett has alluded to making some tweaks to the system. And we'll see if it works. Mm-hmm. But as I've 25 games is a large enough sample. Like I said, those shot quality numbers at 5-on-5 per game on offense from 11th to 31st, on defense from 11th to 23rd. That says to me, again, that something about the process is broken. To go from where they were to where they are in one season, that says to me that there is something off with what's going on. And hold that thought, okay, because we do have a couple of callers who have been waiting patiently. Chris is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I don't pretend to know, you know, why the Predators got off to such a bad start, but being a fan of the Preds and the Titans over the years, it's uncanny some of the similarities of how they have mirrored each other over the years. And in particular, this season, I believe both teams were the biggest or one of the biggest spenders in free agency. And all my years of watching sports, when you go out to buy a team or bring in big names, it rarely turns into a championship. I don't know why, the personalities or whatever. But I just, you know, I know Barry Trotz is and the coach are trying to figure things out. You know, I don't know what, maybe a coaching change will help, but just like the Titans, they went out and spent a ton of money on free agents. And what did get there? Just like the Preds, one of the worst teams in the league.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Yeah, look, I mean, we talked a lot about the Titans spending, and people have, you know, I've heard this quite a bit. Like, you know, I've heard it, people say it to Jared, and I think Robbie and Joe have talked about it too. Like, you know, you're so hard on the Titans. Why aren't you hard on the Predators? Well, I mean, the Predator, like, and this may under, in a way, this may undercut my argument that the Predators were a playoff team last year. Mm-hmm. The Titans were not a playoff team last year. The Titans have been languishing at the bottom of the standings for the past couple of years. The Predators were a surprise playoff team. And this is something else I've seen, Derek. Mm-hmm. You know, we did have one texter that said, hey, they're only 8 points out. You know, maybe they can string some games together. They'll be right back in it. What have the Predators shown you this season to suggest they can do that? Now, before you say, hey, last season they went on an 18-game point streak. How common do you think 18-game point streaks are in NHL history? They're not very common. And it was a good run. Don't get me wrong. It was captivating to watch. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's a different team. It's a different makeup. You brought in different players. You brought in older players. Like, just because last year's team did it doesn't mean this year's team is going to do it. This team has had one winning streak all season. After they started 0-5, they won 3 games in a row. Since then, they followed every win with a bad loss, or maybe not every loss is bad, but mm-hmm. you know, they played Winnipeg a couple weeks ago, the best team in the league. They had a really good game. I was there. Then they lay an egg 2 nights later against New Jersey. That's just the story of the season. I haven't seen anything from this team to suggest that they are going to be able to do that. Mark is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Oh, Lord. Boy, y'all must know when I'm calling in. Cause, boy, I sure do get put on hold.
I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, please. No, I know, Adam. Hey, y'all have a good Thanksgiving, man.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Yeah. What's up, D-May?
What's going on?
I'm going to agree with more of everything you said, Adam, and more of everything D-May said. Maybe Burnett needs to simplify the offense or start setting some star players, maybe call up some guys from Milwaukee. I think that's their affiliation. I mean, they got to do something. But a lot of this is on Barry Trotz, like D-Mace was saying. It is. He's the one that paid out the money. He's the one that went and got these guys. They're struggling bad. They're in rebuild, most definitely, man. And, Adam, I think you said a long time ago, last year sometime, wasn't it a Predators coach that went and got hired with Columbus? It didn't last but about 20 games, and they got rid of him.
I think you said
that on Joe's show one day.
Maybe. I'll have to think back to what I said.
Yeah, but I'm like you, Adam. Maybe they need to get rid of Burnett. Maybe they need a new voice. Maybe they've laid down on Burnett, man. I mean, hey, we miss John Hines. John Hines, I got back, by the way.
John Hines doing pretty well for himself right now with the Minnesota Wild. So, just saying.
Yeah, he is, Adam. And, I mean, Steelman wanted to run him out of town. Give Steelman to about January, and he'll turn on Barry, and he'll turn on Burnett. Give him to January, man. It's coming.
All right. We'll see.
We're starting the clock.
All right, Mark.
Yeah, you know he does, Adam. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day and stuff. Hey, later on, D-Mace. We'll see y'all, man.
Appreciate you, Mark. By the way, the Minnesota Wild, the best record in the NHL right now. So just saying. I'm just saying. But I'm not. This is not about John Hines. Yeah, I like to needle Jared about John Hines. But we do have to go to break. But we do have some texts that I do want to get to as well, and I really appreciate the participation. Nobody has yet to call me like a stupid idiot, and if you want to do that, you can.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. But there is something that Andrew Burnett hasn't done, and I've talked about this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. There is something that Andrew Burnett has not done, to my knowledge, this season that really grinds my gears, and that's part of the reason why I am where I am, and we'll get to that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How mystifying to you is that lack of offense, given the people in this room who have scored so much in their careers before?
I mean, you know, I have some thoughts on that, but, you know, it's, yeah. Like I said, it's, you know, you got guys that can put the puck in the net for sure, but we need to find ways to generate, you know, getting open and guys seeing things and guys finding seams, and, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to score. It's the hardest thing to do in the NHL to score goals. And obviously we got guys that have done it. It's a little different this year. You're in a funk and you try to find ways. I mean, we're not going to quit here, but, you know, we need to find a way, and myself included. And it's tough.
That was Steven Stamkos after the Predators lost 3-2 to his former club, the Tampa Bay Lightning, on Black Friday. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek, I know it's not the wide receiver translator, but let's use the professional athlete translator. You hear Steven Stamkos say that. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Steven Stamkos is a veteran and a smart guy. He knows, because he said, I can tell you a bunch of things. I can tell you. But then after he said that, he was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to tell you. He basically gave you some things, you know, hey, listen, you know, we all know what it takes. We have the guys that can do it. We just got to find a way to get it done. He didn't get into the weeds because initially, and you could tell by his hesitation, like, I can answer this question, but I don't want to answer it because the real answer I want to give may cause a rift within the locker room, or may seem like there's a division in the locker room, and that's not what I want. He's a veteran player. He understands it. He's a smart player. I'm not going to give you things to talk about in the media, so I'm just going to give you the basic stuff, stuff that you can see and understand. This is what we need to do. We got guys that can score goals. We just got to find a way to do it, myself included. That's what Jeffrey Simmons should have said instead of the hangover, you know, or that's what Brownlee should have said instead of the cold weather. Stamkos understands that. He's a veteran guy. He's a winning player. So he understands what he can say and what he can't say. He's been in situations, I'm sure, like this before. So that's what it tells me about him. But it also tells me that there's more than one or two problems going on.
He's clearly frustrated.
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice.
And I don't think he could be changed this season.
I mean, it's a good question. It's a problem that they certainly have. And here's one thing I want to point out as well. So the Predators, I mentioned their 5-on-5 play. They've scored 29 goals at 5-on-5 in 29 goals at 5-on-5 in 25 games. So that's an average of like 1.2. That's bad. Mm-hmm. The Predators, their shooting percentage at 5-on-5 is 5.4%. That's the worst in the league. Now, those things tend to even out. Like, there should be a point at some point where the Predators start scoring more goals at 5-on-5. Here's where I'm concerned. It would be one thing if the Predators had that shooting percentage, and let's say they were eighth in the league in shot quality per game. That means they're getting goalied every day. Mm-hmm. Like, they're playing the best goalie in the league every night, standing on his head, as we like to say. The fact that the Predators are 31st in expected goals for per game says to me that I'm not sure how much that shooting percentage is going to change, because they're not doing the right things mm-hmm. to get to those high percentage scoring areas. And we were talking about this off air. This team was good at that last year. Mm-hmm. all of a sudden they're really bad at it? Like, it is up to the coach to get the best out of the players. As I said, Steven Stamkos, he's averaging 0.28 points per game. That's the worst average of his career. Steven Stamkos, there were signs over his final years in Tampa Bay that he was starting to not be the same player at 5-on-5, but I didn't expect it to be this bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that is partially a reflection of the coaching. Same thing with Jonathan Marchessault. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect him to score 40 goals again, but to have one goal at 5-on-5 in 25 games, he didn't all of a sudden become a bad player.
Yeah, and that's the part that is troubling. You know, he didn't all of a sudden become a bad player, but he's not playing good hockey. And what is the reason? We look at last season, and you know, obviously, you know, and you said it, Adam, how many times is a team going to go on an 18-point streak?
I actually looked this up because this is just the statistical nerd that I am. Uh-huh. I believe there have been 23 point streaks in NHL history of at least 18 games. The league is more than 100 years old.
So it doesn't happen often.
No.
Okay. So, but I look at last year and I say, well, how was that change able to happen last year? Because I think we were saying the opposite thing last year that we're saying this year. Yeah, last year it was the goalie. And UC Saros starting off slow, and it just seemed like everybody was trying to figure out what's going on with UC. So much so, don't sign him back, bring up Askarov, and don't sign him to this huge contract. Look at him. And then all of a sudden, the UC that we knew showed up, and it cured a lot of the ailment that may have been going on. But what we saw was, the goalie wasn't playing well, but it seemed like some other areas were doing well. But because the goalie wasn't playing well, it was like, man, we just can't pull out a game. The goalie gets better. The team gets better. They go on a streak. They get into the playoffs. And UC plays damn good hockey.
He was not the issue in
exactly.
the playoffs.
He was not the issue in the playoffs.
They couldn't score goals.
What have we said about UC this year? He hasn't been the issue.
If not for UC Saros, this team would be by far the worst team in the NHL.
Exactly. So it's not because of UC that the Nashville Predators are where they're at now, which is a concern for me, because if it was UC, I would believe that the UC that we know, he'll get it together, and the team is doing well outside of what UC's doing. UC will get it together, and everything will start meshing together, and we'll be fine. But this year's not UC. It's more than UC Saros. It's other areas.
He is the least of their concerns,
exactly.
In my opinion.
So how confident are we that those other areas will be able to change like that the way UC changed last year? And I understand what Willie says. Man, they were close. Look at these. It hit the upright pole. It hit the side of the net. They're close. They're close. Well, how many times are we going to say they're close?
Right.
Before we say, you know what, it's not going to happen.
I need results.
Exactly.
I need results at this point. When you have won 7 of your 25 games, like I said this even a couple of weeks ago, well, we played well, but lost train has left the station. Mm-hmm. That left the station weeks ago for me. So I don't care if the process is right, if they're not really winning games. Like they need to win games. But I did say one thing that Andrew Burnett, and then we'll get to your calls. One thing that Andrew Burnett has not done this season from afar. Again, I'm just looking at this from afar. One thing that he has not done this season that really bothers me. We've talked about the players that have struggled, particularly the top players. Mm-hmm. As far as I can tell, Andrew Brunette has not held any of his top players accountable for their performances. We've seen Luke Evangelista scratched. We've seen Michael McCarron scratched. We've seen Philip Tomasino scratched and then traded. We've seen Dante Fabbro scratched and then waived. But we haven't seen Andrew Burnett openly hold his top players accountable for their performances. Now, Barry Trotz, again, who will be on with Jared today at 5 o'clock. One thing that Barry Trotz is fond of saying when we're talking about the struggles of the veteran players, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm the guy that scratched the greatest goal scorer in the NHL. He did. When he was coach of the Washington Capitals, mm-hmm. he scratched Alex Ovechkin for a game in October of 2015, and you're going to laugh at the reason, because Ovechkin overslept and missed a morning skate, and I'm not kidding you. I went back and looked at this. He set his alarm to p.m. instead of a.m. Mm-hmm. But he missed a morning skate. The captain of the team. The best goal scorer of all time. Not officially because he still has to pass Wayne Gretzky, but we all agree that Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time. Barry Trotz scratched him because he did not meet the standards. Mm-hmm. And I know this is different because that's oversleeping and missing a morning skate versus your play on the ice. But Barry Trotz did it. Barry Trotz scratched Alex Ovechkin. He set an example. I want to see Andrew Burnett hold his top players accountable. I've mentioned Jonathan Marchessault many times. It just feels like, and Derek, I know you know this. When you're a professional athlete, the better players, they get longer leashes than the depth players. Steven Stamkos is going to get a longer leash than Luke Evangelista. Brady Shea is going to get a longer leash than Mark Delgado. We know that. But I don't like the optics of it. I don't like that it appears that Andrew Burnett has not held his top players accountable for their poor performances this
season. Well, we discussed this a few weeks ago about, you know, what is it that Coach Bruno can do, Burnett can do to sort of jolt some energy into this team. He's you know, changed lines. He's scratched, you know, guys that are on the third and fourth line. He's did all these things except start at the top and then work his way down. And I understand why, you know, because like you said, listen, your A1 players and the players you count on, they get a longer leash than, say, the back end of your roster. And I get that. I understand it. It's sports. It's life. I get it. Should it be that way? Probably not, but it is. But it has to come a time where as you're evaluating your team, as you're looking at your team, you've made all these changes that you can possibly make. Because mind you, the roster's looking at you too. The roster's looking at you. And the roster is saying, man, you're doing all this stuff with these lower-level guys. It still ain't changing nothing. Maybe you had to start at the top and work your way down. I'm not saying benching for 2-3 games. I'm not saying possibly even taking them out of the lineup. But move them down. Move them down a peg. Drop him a peg. Let him play with those guys that are in the third and fourth line. Or, yes, sit him out of game. Who says that you can't do that? I'm sure Nashville Predators fan base wouldn't be mad if you set one of these marquee guys just to try to jolt some energy into somebody or this team. I'm sure the fan base wouldn't look at you and say, you crazy for doing that. No, they wouldn't, because they're probably looking at it as I'm looking at it, like, man, you've tried just about everything. You know, because if you ain't going to do that, then maybe what Adam is saying about replacing the coach is probably the best course of action. Because you're not trying to, you know, in a sense, protect your job, because you're just going for the low-hanging fruit. You're not going for the big-name guys. And again, I'm not saying that guys need to be benched 2 or 3 games. They may not even need to be benched, but take away some of that ice time and see how they like that. Until you start to prove that you can do the things that we're asking, I gotta take some of your minutes away and see how guys react to that. If they don't react to it in a good way, then you ain't got a good team.
Look, we mentioned John Hines and the Wild, but I remember John Hines early in his tenure, and I just pulled up a story that I wrote from that time. You know, there was a game where he gave Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg significantly less ice time than they usually get. And John Hines said, quote, "You've got to earn your ice time, and you've got to keep your ice time. That's the only way to eliminate complacency."
Mm.
And you know what? I have not seen that from Andrew Burnett.
Not with the top guys, anyway.
Not with the top guys. Will is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
I'll agree to fire the coach, but wait till after the season's over just so we can bottom out. I'm tired of the mushy middle, and I have faith, unlike everybody else in the Nashville fan base. Like, we always got to stay at least mushy middle or the fan. But I think we can go 1 year where we just suck and actually get a prospect that's higher up in the draft, and then replace Burnett with Carl Taylor down at, I think, Milwaukee. I think he deserves a shot. I don't know if he's going to be a great coach or whatever, but I think he's proven that he's waited out his tenure, waited in line, and I think he deserves a shot.
Well, thank you for the call. And that, I mean, look, I've heard that as well. I mean, the Predators have rarely been bad enough to draft near the top of the draft.
I don't think they're going to get no better.
You did say this during the break. You were expecting them to stay among the worst teams in the league this season.
I expect them to stay because my thing is, like I said earlier, if it was UC Soros, I would have faith that UC would be able to get it together and they'd be fine. I haven't seen enough of these guys. These are new guys you're bringing onto this team. Yeah, I know what they did at their other with their other teams. That means nothing because they're not doing it here in Nashville. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to turn it around. They can fool me and they can turn it around, or I can be wrong. But what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing is a team that I don't think will turn it around. I think they're going to get an opportunity to draft that guy that they want. That big name center that they've been looking for, or another defense. They will be able to get that guy in this year's draft, I believe.
Well, if you go to the website moneypuck.com, which is a popular website with advanced analytics, the Predators have a 6.7% chance of making the playoffs, according to MoneyPuck. They have a 6.5% chance of having the number one pick in the NHL draft.
It's just about even, huh?
Yeah. And look, I am prepared for the Predators to go to Toronto tomorrow and win 6-1, and they'll go on a run, and I'll look like a complete jackass.
If that happened, that'd be great. I would love it.
I will pull a Jared Stillman, and I will just give myself credit for galvanizing them if they
like a radio show host should do.
Right, exactly. But look, this is that I've laid out my case. You can agree, you can disagree, you can call me names. That's fine. I just think that I've seen enough from this team this season to think that if there really isn't much they can do, right? Even if Barry Trotz wanted to make changes to the roster, he can't. The players he signed, they have no movement clauses. They have full control of their situation. They have pricey cap hits. Teams can't usually make those things work. The quote-unquote simplest thing to do to try to send tremors through that dressing room is to make a coaching change. And if it were up to me, that's what I would do. But we'll see how the Predators respond tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And by the way, Toronto is known, Derek, as the center of the hockey universe. The spotlight there is much brighter than it is anywhere else. And if this team goes to Toronto and lays an egg, it's going to get ugly. So for their sake, they better play well tomorrow and they better win. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the NFL. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey, this is Derek Mason, and you heard me tell you about Dr. Lodge and his staff at Cool Springs MD for some time now. And if you set out to lose weight, chances are it's not your first time setting a resolution to shed some extra pounds, only to face disappointment. But at Cool Springs MD, Dr. Lodge and his team understands the frustration of this cycle, and that is why they offer a different approach to weight loss. Their comprehensive weight loss program is led by Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and addresses the root cause of weight gain with tailored nutrition, exercise, blood test supplements, and more. They will customize a program specific to you and no one else. So connect with Dr. Lodge at CoolSpringsMD.com today to schedule your appointment for a personalized weight loss plan just for you. That's Cool Springs MD, where your weight loss journey becomes a success story.